Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And of course, it isn't Sunday, it's Monday. We got a special show for you, a Monday night live show, as the great Tim McLeod has made his way back from vacation and will be joining us any minute now. And we'll get started with the show. So it has been 8 days since we last talked, and last time we met, we were talking Arizona Fall League and just some September call-ups and non-call-ups. And, you know, we're going to go through just more guys that maybe you can add here very late in the Fantasy League, almost only three weeks left to make moves. Everybody's in their championship rounds, and it's great to see. A lot of people are fighting to the bitter end to win their Roto League. So it's all very, very good and a lot of fun. We're also going to talk about strategies, just something that you might want to think about going here in the last three weeks. What do you do? And then finally, we're going to talk about what is finally? Oh, guys that are red hot. So we're going to talk a little bit of waiver wire stuff. Not the traditional waiver wire, but just some guys like what the heck to make of Brian Dozier. I mean, good Lord. I mean, it's he's just been all world. And 39 home runs, 93 RBIs, and 14 stolen bases. Is that an outlier? Is this the new norm? And it's weird, as Tim and I talk about it. It's gone from 18 home runs in 2013 to 23 to 28, now on pace for 45. So it's been increasing. You can't imagine hitting ever more than 45, but could he do 30 again next year? If so, is he the top first baseman off the board next, second baseman off the board next year, even more than Jose Altuve? And a lot of good second basemans out there. It's actually fascinating. Anyway, we're going to talk to Timmy about all that and just, I think, have a really, really good show. So hopefully he will be on the air here very shortly. In fact, there he is now. Mr. McLeod, how are you?
Well, Rich, it's been a while. I am absolutely great. Yourself?
I'm doing well, Timmy. So your vacation good?
Yeah, it was a great time. The only small dilemma of sorts is I wasn't counting on having to replace the bumper, grill, license plate holder, and possibly airbag sensors on the car, Rich.
Oh, that's not good. What happened to me? Somebody run into you, or you run into somebody?
Sitting at a red light, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Truck in front of me,
mm-hmm.
Car behind.
Uh-oh.
The truck in front of me, driven by 69-year-old Earl, we'll leave it at that, he decided he didn't like the lane he was in. So he just backed into me.
Really?
Yeah, with the trailer hitch. Yeah, stopped at a red light, okay? And there's about 3 feet between the vehicles. All of a sudden, this half-ton backs right in the front of me. I leaned on the horn. I said the three words that are the most important words to say in a situation like that, which would be WTF, which I repeated to 69-year-old Earl.
Oh, no. How bad did you feel after you realized how old he was?
No, I was still saying WTF. That didn't change.
Wow, so the nice Canadian has a breaking point, and it's called somebody backing into him.
Well, yeah, Kathy said she saw this vein in the middle of my forehead that she's never seen before, eh? And I said, well, it's there, but you won't see it very often. It takes like 69-year-old Earl's backing into me to probably get that level of excitement happening. But we went to the police station, and he fessed up to it and took 100% responsibility. So now just the fun job of dealing with insurance companies, Rich.
Oh. Yeah. So how does that work, Timmy? I mean, do you have a deductible, but I'm assuming then you'll claim the deductible from Earl?
Well, what happens is the insurance companies handle handle all of that, or they're supposed to. They do an investigation to determine who's at fault. If there's no fault in awarded in my situation, then his insurance company picks up the tab.
Okay.
For my deductible, rentals, and all the rest of that. So
that's the way it should be. So.
Well, yeah, I was going to say I shouldn't have to pay a penalty for sitting at a red light, right?
No. Yeah, so I've been in a couple of fender benders, Tammy, and it's tough. I mean, if you have a good insurance company, it's really, really easy. I mean, I had it where basically the rental car company came and picked me up and took me to their place. I picked up a car, and the tow truck dropped my car off, and then they called me when it was ready to be picked up, and it was not. I think I had an outlay of a $500 deductible in the beginning, and then 6 weeks later, I finally got it back. That was the only thing. Everything else was easy.
Yeah. See, we don't even have to. We don't even have to have that step. Once they determine fault, it's waived instantly. So there is no deductible. The way it should be. Like, we're not, talking about a $500 deductible between insurance companies, okay? Now, who is richer than insurance companies, other than maybe banks and God, right?
Right. It's funny. I was driving my wife's car, it was a couple of weeks ago, and I'm in the car, and I get a call from State Farm, which is one of the big insurance companies here, Tim, and they said, the car that you've been this Audi, blah 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 blah. They said was involved in an accident about 6 months ago. I said, yeah, somebody ran into my wife, and it was a minor fender bender, kind of like yours, and we've determined that the car is totaled and undrivable. And I went, well, that's interesting because I'm actually driving it now. So they go, what? And I go, I think it's fine. It's all fixed. Oh, and then I was on hold for 20 minutes, and they called up and said, oh, never mind. Oops, didn't mean to call you. Wrong list.
Yeah. So. You know what else of interest happened, Rich? And I got to nip this one in the bud right away because I did have some fun with it on Facebook. The Twins are interviewing a Mr. McLeod, okay, for the
with the Cubs. Yes, absolutely.
But yes, okay. It is Jason. It is not Tim. Okay, please, people.
There you go. So
okay,
one final question about. One more final question about your accident. Were you able to drive the car? Or did you have to get a rental car, or was so? What was the car inoperable, or was it you have to get a rental car?
No, actually, the insurance company was prepared to do the work there if I needed to get me home. But no, the car is drivable. The only thing that and it's sort of funny as I explained it to the mechanic, what happened was it jarred the airbag sensors. Okay, now they didn't go off, but because they're a bit out of sync, it shuts down the airbag system. So right now I've got a light that comes on in the dash that says service airbags immediately, right? So the only thing that's it looks a bit like crap, and the airbags won't work, but the mechanic, he says, the only thing you have to be concerned about is if you get into an accident, your airbags aren't going to go off. And I said, if I hit somebody at 70 miles an hour head on, I don't care about the airbags. I don't want to be sucking my food through a straw for the next 15 years. I can live with that.
We don't want that to happen, Timmy. So get your car fixed and get your airbags fixed. So.
Yeah. So other than that, it was a great time. It was great spending time with my cousin and brother. We got a very, very small family, and the wedding was nice and did some quality bonding. And yeah, I found out if you type Tom Selleck in, your autocorrect changes it to Tom Sellice. Okay. So my brother picked up some new glasses and he thinks he looks like Tom Selleck. So, with the autocorrect, we had to start calling him Tom Sellice, but whatever works, right?
Yeah, there you go. Whatever works. So Timmy, so we got 3 weeks left in the season. How are your teams?
Some good, some bad, some just are. Totes done like dinner. I'm going to finish the highest, probably fifth.
Okay.
The combination of Salazar getting hurt again, McCullers, Wright. Who else do we have that's out and walking wounded? Toronto off-speed whiz from the first half that faded.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, my pitching went south. My hitting's good. It was just one of those years, injury after injury. DL2 is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks like you're back in the lead on that, and I'm falling quickly. My pitching that you said was going to hold up, Tim, just didn't. Steven Strasburg is terrible. DeGrom is down and probably out, and it's just been a nightmare. So I've fallen off.
And you know what? There's nothing you can do about it, Rich. You know, especially in a dynasty league, you know, you're hooped. You just got to sort of roll with the punches and hopefully find a way to, you know, steal a point or two in some of the other categories to offset
it. The problem there, Timmy, is I'm drowning in ERA and WHIP. I mean, that's what's getting killed. My WHIP, I've got, I don't know, I'm in like 10th place or something, and you know just 3 weeks ago I was in third place. I mean, it's insane. It's just the pitching has completely fallen me there.
Well, yeah, and you know, you start looking at some of the streaming options. Like, Cashner did it to the world again tonight, didn't he? Did you catch his line?
No, I didn't.
Well, 2-start week, okay? He's coming off a great start in his last outing, and I think he allowed 7 earned runs in 2 innings tonight. And he was a hot topic for people looking to, you know, stream 2 starters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So much for that plan.
Yeah, absolutely, Timmy. Well, my NFBC team literally imploded. Almost the same time frame, 3 weeks. I went from 100 points and then firmly in second place to 80 points, and then 80 points, Tim, in, I don't know, 7th or 8th place. And I don't know what happened. My hitter stopped hitting. I had a terrible pitching staff because I lost Matt Harvey, and that's one of those draft and hold leagues, and I just
did
that. Just dead as a doornail, and I'm watching the team every day. It's like a point here, a point there, and it's just been a steady drop. In 3 weeks, I don't know what happened. It just literally imploded, and I can't even tell you because all the guys seem to be doing okay, but nobody's doing great. I'm just getting killed.
Well, yeah, and then somebody in your league has Brian Dozier, and somebody has Kevin Kiermaier, and somebody has Buxton, and, you know – what's that dude's name in Milwaukee?
Broxton.
Seven home runs, 20. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, these guys are coming out of, not per se nowhere, but they're starting to deliver. And as your guys are putting together like an average little run, you know, they're not great. They're not poor. But if you don't have some of those players that are picking up the slack, people are going to be passing you. It's the nature of the game, and it sucks, but it is what it is, Rich. That's the only way to describe it.
Let's talk about the three guys that you mentioned, Timmy, because they are on our guys that are red hot, and you know they're not. I mean, some of them, like Kevin Kiermaier, is only owned 24% of CBS leagues. But let's talk about Brian Dozier, Timmy. I mean, it's insane what he's doing. And I wrote this yesterday, so it could have changed. 39 home runs, 93 RBIs. This is for the Twins, Tim. The Twins, the last I look, stink. But this guy has been all world. 39 home runs, 93 RBIs, 14 stolen bases. And as I said, as you were coming on, he's gone from 18 home runs in 2013 to 23 in 2014 to 28 in 2015. Now he's on pace for 45. So it's not like last year he hit 10 and now he's going to hit 45. This is a guy that's been building towards this. Now, I don't expect him to hit 55 next year, but my first question to you is, how real is this?
Well, I think the potential per se has always been there. By the way, he's up to 40. You can add a run and an RBI as well.
Wow.
Yeah, hit another one tonight. But you know, I think when you start looking at players that have the potential, say, to hit in a projection 20 to 25 home runs, right?
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is 1 2-3 week tear, okay? And all of a sudden, that 20 to 25 becomes 30 to 35. Now, Dozier's been on a tear since the All-Star break. But I think there's a lot of players out there that have that sort of potential. You look at this year, Kendrys Morales. He had a two-week span. I think he's got 27 home runs. Trevor Story with the great start. Gary Sanchez, are you going to predict him for 40 home runs next year?
No, but I didn't think about Kendrys Morales. I mean, we talked about him, I'm going to say in May, if we go back and look at our notes, where he was batting 180 with 4 home runs, because I know you got him on your Tout Wars team, and all the indications were his BABIP was really low, he was going to turn around. He sure did. But Brian Dozier, Tim, what do you expect from him next year? Give me his stat line for next year. Give me home runs. Yeah,
okay.
over 30 for next year?
I'm going to go 28.
Yeah, so that's about what he did last year then. So you're thinking he goes back to 2015, doesn't improve at all in this year.
No, I think Brian Dozier is high 20s, maybe low 30s home run sort of guy who is just right now on an absolutely amazing tear. And at the same point in time, I can tell you right now, I won't own Dozier probably in any leagues next year.
Because he's going to be too expensive?
He's going to cost you an arm, leg, and your firstborn. And I'll give up the firstborn, but not the arm and the leg, Rich.
Yeah, well, good to know. Who's your oldest again? I forgot his name. So
Jordy. Okay, yeah.
Jordy. I was trying to think Gordy, but I couldn't remember it. So
yeah, well, he'd do the same for me. So it's mutual.
Oh, okay. Well, that's so I'm looking at just trying to find Brian Dozier, and so Jose Altuve still earning the most amount according to Baseball HQ at $40. We're up behind Mookie Betts at 39. And then Mike Trout at 37, Jonathan Villar, I mean, ridiculous, 33, Daniel Murphy at 32. But, I mean, there's Brian Dozier, Timmy, sitting there at $28. So according to Baseball HQ, what is that, seventh off the board from a price earned, sitting in with Starling Marte and Chris Bryant and Paul Goldschmidt. He's right in there.
Well, yeah, he is. But I think it's a fairly safe bet that next spring, Chris, Bryant will probably go before Brian Dozier.
Yeah, I would think so. I'm trying to find. I think what is it? They got the what is it? The not they don't have XFIP. They've got or FIB. They've got XBA. So what are they saying here for his expected batting average? That's Brian Dozier. Let me click that on Tim and find out what his expected batting average is. Chug. The Brian Dozier has an expected batting average of, drum roll please, 288. So there's a little bit of upside there. So the contact rate is still okay, 79%. Walk rate's at 9%. I mean, everything looks good, Timmy.
Yeah. What would you be shocked, Rich, if next year what did we see out of Dozier in April, May, June?
I don't think we saw a whole lot. We saw 3 home runs, 2 home runs, 8 home runs, 6
right.
home runs in July. We've seen 13 home runs and 7 home runs in September. We've seen 20 home runs in August and September.
Yeah, that's silly. That's the only way to describe it. It's just flat out silly. All the more power to him. But, he's sort of like Chris Davis, right? If Chris Davis hits 35 home runs this year, right?
Which Chris Davis?
Actually, you probably pick one. I'm thinking Baltimore.
Okay.
Is it possible for him to hit 50 next year?
Oh, I definitely think so, because he's proven that he can do that.
Right, and I think what happens is any hitter that has the potential to hit 25 to 30 home runs, if you get into the right groove at the right time, the right situation, I think you can add 10 to 15 home runs to those numbers and not be totally shocked by it. But at the same point in time, are you going to pay for that the next year, betting he's going to have another 2-month streak like he's had? And I would say the odds are not in your favor if you're playing that game.
So it gets down to the luck factor, Timmy, which,
well, yeah.
Luck is part of the game, right? So
right.
you drafted Brian Dozier. I can look back at the NFBC and see where you got drafted. But you
right.
drafted probably in the fourth or fifth round thinking, 25. Maybe if I get lucky, I get 30 home runs. All of a sudden, he's going to hit 45, and all of a sudden, you get the 15 over on that. And probably, if you're doing a dollar match, you probably have earned $10, $12 more. That's how you win leagues. But, I mean, he could have very easily spent Brian Dozier even worse. I mean, how do you know which guys are truly going to blow up when you map out everything? I mean, should you have looked at that progression of home runs and say, yeah, there's a chance for more than that? Should you have looked at that, or should you have just said, it's just luck. It's pure luck that he did that.
It happens. Look at Evan Longoria this year. There's another good example. A guy that you know, what did he hit? I don't think he hit 20 home runs last year.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, he's over 30. But he's got a history of hitting 25 to 30 home runs. So why can't he hit 35? You know, hey, I think Dozier owner's got an incredible incredible bonus. I actually traded him away at the end of June in a keeper league because I needed to find a way to get some cap space to pick up Cole Hamels. So I traded him for a cheaper Logan Forsythe, thinking I was getting virtually the same player. Wrong.
Yeah, it's interesting, Timmy. He has 31 home runs. He's batting .275 with 85 RBIs, but no stolen bases. And HQ puts a dollar amount at $17, down around kind of the Anthony Rendon, Mike Napoli, Matt Kemp type of thing. So, because it's fascinating. If we take a look again at these home run totals, and we've all said for the last couple of years that home run was at a scarcity, Tim, and I'm looking at big-ass numbers. So starting with Trumbo at 41, all the way down to, I mean, it's I'm scrolling now the page, Timmy, and I've got guys in the upper 20s. You know, look, good grief. You go all the way down almost 50 guys, and you're still into 25 home runs.
Well, did Major League Baseball, Rich, by any chance, happen to maybe change the baseball and not let us know?
You know, the last time we talked about this, Timmy, that's when steroids was there. I mean, it kind of makes you wonder if there's something going on.
Well, yeah, something has changed, and it's not a drug situation because everybody's getting tested left, right, and center. So, what's the next obvious thing to look at? You can look at pitching being middling to terrible, but the ball's still flying an awful long way, and I really have, my gut feeling is something has changed in that baseball over the past couple of years, especially this year. And, you know, hey, and it's just a gut feeling, but I would love for Major League Baseball to make a statement on that.
History would tell us, Timmy, it's drugs. That's what history would tell us. Every time this has happened, it's turned out to be PEDs.
Well, yeah, that's what history would tell us. But what happens when you've elevated your testing to the IOC standards? I would have to think, unless
maybe there's maybe there's a new synthetic drug, Tim, that can't be found in testing. This is crazy. I mean, like, you've seen Rogue Ned Odor. I mean, this guy weighs about 160 pounds, dripping wet. He's got 30 home runs.
Yeah, well, and you know what? That's why I'm thinking baseball. Because I think if you're looking at drugs, I can't see it. You know, they caught the entire country of Russia. Okay, they're going to catch a few baseball players. You know, if that's the standard to which they're working at, which it is. So, I really believe that something's up with the baseball, and that's, you know, until some. Like I said, I would love Major League Baseball to just make an announcement. Hey, did you change the ball? Somebody ask the MLB commissioner for his thoughts on that one and see what you get back.
Bradley Miller, Tim, he's terrible, right? 27 home runs.
Well, yeah. A shortstop that couldn't make it in Seattle, one of many that didn't make it in Seattle, moves to Tampa Bay, slap him in at first base, and he's hitting everything.
Yeah, I mean, he had most of those as a shortstop, too. I mean, he's a streaky guy, right? I mean, you know, because I actually own him in the league. So when you own somebody, particularly in the Dynasty League, year over year, you know what to expect. He is streaky, just like a Justin Upton is streaky. By the way, Justin Upton went out with a leg injury, which is not good on Monday in a weekly league, Timmy, when that happens. But, I mean, it's just insane what we're seeing some of these guys. Jed Jorko, Tim. I mean, Jed Jorko. 26 home runs. All these guys are going to hit 30 home runs this year.
Well, yeah, but then on the other hand, Rich, what you have is Brandon Belt, okay, proving that maybe everything we're thinking is not true, right?
Well, that would imply that Brandon Belt, of course, I mean, Brandon Belt is beyond reproach. There's no way he's on PEDs, right? So there's no way he's doing it. Now, let's talk about the other thing. I mean, we're looking at stolen bases. Yeah, you got Billy Hamilton at 58, Jonathan Villar at 53, and Starling Marte. But you get, Timmy, I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. The 12th guy down has 25 stolen bases. I was double that for 25 home runs. I mean, that shows you that it falls off in a hurry. I'm looking at, on the first page of Baseball HQ, maybe 20 names down, I get Jose Peraza with 15 stolen bases. You have to get the 15 home runs. It's probably 100 names before you get the 15 home runs.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Why steal second when every other batter is hitting it out of the park, right?
Yep. I have a question for you. Who steals the more bases next year, Trey Turner or Billy Hamilton?
Trey Turner.
I think so, too. I mean, this guy is 20. I think it is 20 or sold his 24th base tonight or something. To me, he's done it in like 50 games.
Well, and the thing is with Billy Hamilton, which Billy are we going to get? Are we going to see, you know, a little bit of an uptick and improvement in his on-base skills? How many walls will he run into and how much time will he miss? I'm still, you know, Billy Hamilton from first to second, first to third, home to first, you know, there's no doubt in my mind he is the fastest man in the game. But that doesn't mean he's going to, he's going to get in 600-plus at-bats next year. And, hey, there's no guarantees on Turner either, but I really like what I'm seeing. And if I was to bet, I'd rather invest my money easily in Trey Turner than Billy Hamilton because you're going to get some power as well.
Yeah, Billy Hamilton, I mean, Trey Turner's a better player. I mean, he's got more pop and he's got better hit tool. And, you know, Billy Hamilton might be the fastest guy, you know, in baseball, but the second fastest guy is Trey Turner, and it's not that far away. And this guy, Tim, if you've ever seen him play, he's really, really quick. Let me show you the second guy, Jonathan VR. I know Alan Servinus. I mean, every other word is Jonathan is VR, right? He loves VR. 15 home runs, 54 stolen or 53 stolen bases. This was Carl Crawford when Carl Crawford was Carl Crawford. I mean, is Jonathan VR really this good?
Well, he's definitely worth moving up one round in Dynasty League drafts, Rich. Oh, that was a shot.
That was bad. I had him locked in, and Tim took him like three picks before me. I needed those stolen bases, Tim.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm sorry, even though it's a forced apology. How's that? I'm apologizing. For being mean, cruel, and heartless, which I really shouldn't be. But, no, what do you pay for VR next year? Hey, you know, I liked him a couple years ago when he was with Houston, and then he fell into disfavor and ended up in Milwaukee, got an opportunity, and he's getting it done. But am I going to draft Jonathan VR as a second-round pick next year? Probably not. Somebody will, but I probably won't.
Yeah, I'd love to hear Alan's take on that. I wonder if he would. I mean, I can't do it. I mean, I can't do it because Jonathan Vuor is a waiver wire guy, and I just refuse to take a guy that high when the year before that he was a waiver wire guy. That's too painful.
Yeah, it's – hey, you know what? If you invested in him this year, if you got him, hey, congratulations. You won the pot of gold. It's yours. Moving forward, though, it's a lot different when you have to start paying for some of these guys as compared to, you know, hey, I drafted Trevor Story in the 27th round. Well, congratulations. There's another lottery ticket. You know, you picked up Gary Sanchez expecting 3-4 home runs down the stretch and maybe a decent batting average, and, you know, you could see 20 out of them. You know, those are the lottery tickets that definitely make a difference, but becomes a little bit of a different story the following year, especially in redrafts, when you have to start paying for some of these guys.
Totally agree with you, Timmy, but I think one thing that is patently obvious, it's stolen base that not only scarce, but it's really scarce, Tim. And I mean, I could get Chris Davis, KHRIS Davis, you know, in the eighth or ninth round. I'm going to get 30, 35 home runs. I'm just going to go with cheap power later, and I'm going to go I would not hesitate to take Trey Turner in the top of the second round, or wouldn't hesitate at all. If I'm sitting at the 15th pick going with, you know, a guy and Trey Turner is my sixth, I would not hesitate at all doing that because I know I'm going to get 10 to 12 home runs. I'm going to get a ton of stolen bases, and I'm going to get a good batting average, a guy at the top of the lineup in a great lineup. So to me, that kind of guy becomes golden.
Well, Yeah, you're going to look at, you know, we've been fooling around periodically on the Facebook and the group page with looking at the first round. And, you know, I got Starling Marte. He could be in my top eight next year.
Yeah, I agree because of the stolen bases.
Well, yeah, you're looking at a guy that can get you 40-plus stolen bases with a bit of power. You know, I love Nolan Arenado, okay? But if you're faced with a situation next year and you've got a choice between Arenado and Marte, who are you taking?
I think you're taking Marte.
Yeah, I would as well because you can get Nick.
Because I know I can. I know I can get. I mean, Nolan Arenado is going to have 40 home runs. I can get a guy with 30 home runs at two or three rounds later. But there's no way I can replace this 40 stolen base line and get somebody three or four rounds later with 10 stolen bases. I can't replace it.
Well, no, that's why guys like Jankowski in San Diego this year and Broxton. Those guys have had incredible value. They're going to win people leagues because they managed to get 20 stolen bases. And that 20 stolen bases, I've watched it in tote. The guy who's currently leading and probably will eventually win was sitting basically where I was a month and a half ago. And I didn't have the space because of injuries, so I couldn't make a move on Broxton. He picked up Broxton. He's now got a 5-6 point lead, and he's got his categories locked in. Those guys they've been gold this year. Anybody who can steal 15 to 20 bases that didn't cost you anything is going to return huge rewards.
Here's a guy that's been gold, Tim, and he's been gold the last three or four weeks, and that's Kevin Kiermaier. We talk about him a lot. Yeah, he's on a hot streak, but, you know, you like 11 home runs, 16 stolen bases, and a lot of that damage has been done here since he's come back from injury. I mean, the batting average is nothing to shake a stick at 249, but he's got an on-base percentage of 329, so he does get on base, and they're finally starting to let him run. He's another guy, Tim, that is fast. The dude's fast. He's double-plus speed. They just haven't let him run a lot, and I think you're going to see that next year.
Oh, sorry about that, Rich.
It sounded bad, Tim. Are you okay?
Yeah, I got two lungs. The other one's good.
Okay, good. But Kevin Kiermaier, Timmy, I mean, that's somebody I think you're going to be able to get late, and a guy that has 20 stolen base up potential, maybe 25 stolen base up potential.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the other thing that's nice about Kiermaier, Rich, is the fact that his glove is going to keep him in the lineup every day. You know, if he goes into a 3-4 week slump, okay, he's still going to steal you a few bases, but you know he's going to be in the lineup every single day. And, you know, you look at his numbers, okay? I like Kiermaier heading into the year, and then he went and got hurt. But in 2015, he finished up with 10 homers and 18 stolen bases. Now, in a fraction of the at-bats this year, he's got 11 home runs, and he's 16 of 18 in stolen bases. The walk rate is up. And next year, he's only heading into his age 27 season. So I think you've got the potential with Kiermaier to see 15 to 18 home runs, 25 stolen bases on the high side. And he's going to fall a little bit next year.
I agree, because he's Kevin Kiermaier, and he's only 26 years old, so he's starting to come into the prime. So
right.
It's interesting. One guy I'm watching the game, Tim. I'm watching the Cubs and the Cubs in St. Louis. Kyle Hendricks is throwing a no-hitter, Tim. He's in the sixth inning, no-hitter. This is a guy that throws 87 to 88 miles an hour, really good curveball, great command, great control. He reminds me of right-handed Dallas Keuchel. He might win the Cy Young this year. It's almost Dallas Keuchel 2.0. I'm not touching Kyle Hendricks next year.
No, where did he go in drafts this year, Rich?
Well, Timmy, let me we got to talk about something else, because I need to bring up my NFBC, because I can tell you that. You know, if you can play a little music, Tim, if you can hum, I will tell you that in just a minute. He's another guy that's going to win people a ton of leagues. There we go. All righty. So that'd be Hendricks, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's do guess the player, Timmy. I am. Would you like to do the what pitcher he went off on the board? That's all starting in relief pitcher, or what physical number he went off on the board? It's true ADP.
I'll go true ADP within. I'll guess at 73rd off the board.
Well, wait a minute. You're not playing the game right. Hold
no,
on
I forgot
for a moment.
The music.
First, we got to do the music, and I have to repeat it and build a little excitement.
Right.
Here,
okay. I'll change my number.
Yeah, please change your number. Okay, so we're looking at Kyle Hendricks. I think he is Dallas Keuchel 2.0, the great Tim McLeod, trying to figure out where he was drafted. And we're going to go from 1-700. Where does the great Tim McLeod believe that Kyle Hendricks was drafted this past year, or this year, actually? Tim.
Okay, I said I changed my number. I'm going with 72.
You're talking you're saying his ADP was 72, not the 72nd pitcher taken off the board, but you're thinking his ADP is 72.
No, sorry. I'm thinking he's the 72nd pitcher off the board. His ADP would probably be around, I'll say 350.
Okay, his ADP, in fact, is 214, Mr.
Oh,
McLeod.
Okay.
So, ooh. And he is the 83rd pitcher off the board.
Okay, you want to know who the 95th one was off the board? It was Rick Porcello.
Yeah, sure. Well, I got him as Andrew Heaney, but it's probably just around, it's about that. But yeah, Kyle Hendrick, number 83, and where is Clay Buchholz? Who did you say, Porcello? Yeah, I dropped Porcello. Porcello is 133rd pitcher off the board, right next to right next to J.A. Happ at 134.
Well, yeah, so you got a rotation of Happ, Porcello, and Hendrick, and you're going to win your league, hands down. It's done.
Yeah,
it's over.
Yeah, and, you can play the game. There's a guy in my NFBC that went the first 20 picks as batters. He's doing quite well, but you can take a gamble like that. But you're just gambling, Tim. You're gambling that you're going to hit on these guys that can all – I mean, Rick Porcello, who saw that coming back? J.A. Happ, you could have said, yeah, he was pretty good last year. And Hendrick, I mean, there's no way that you could have thought you're going to catch up to all those.
Well, no. You're tossing darts, and 1 in 1,000 times you're going to hit the board. Congratulations.
I'm watching, again, the Cubs game, Tim, and I just see that Jason Heyward made a pretty good catch. I benched him in a league, Tim, in a 15-team dynasty league, and this is who I benched him. This is who I'm playing ahead of him. Tell me I'm crazy. Eddie Rosario, Jason Worth, Byron Buxton, Steven Souza, Rajah Davis. I'm playing those five outfielders in front of Jason Heyward. They're not that good, but I think they're all better than Jason Heyward.
I agree with you. In a 12-team redraft, I cut him. Jason Heyward.
He's terrible, Tim. I don't know what's happened. He rolls over everything, beats the ball into the ground. He's terrible.
Yeah, I really thought the move to Chicago was going to revitalize. There'd be an uptick there, but there ain't no ticking happening there. But, what's going to happen next year?
Well, what do you mean what's going to happen? I'm not drafting.
I'm not drafting.
What do you mean? Do you think he's going to hit 25 home runs again? He's not even stealing bases. At least last year he stole 20 bases. It's terrible.
Well, yeah, it is definitely not good. Definitely not good. How's Greichuk doing tonight?
Oh, that's a painful one, Timmy. He's against a no-hitter. So, I've not been a Greichuk fan, but the guy's hit 22 home runs. He's either going to home run or he's going to strike out. He's not even a three true outcome player. He's a two true outcome player. And they're expensive home runs, Timmy.
Well, you know what? Just to satisfy my curiosity, okay? In August and September, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good power months for him. 105 at-bats, okay? 33 strikeouts. Guess how many walks he's had since he got the call back up at the beginning of August?
Six.
You're 300% high. It would be 2 is the magic answer.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not sustainable, but he's going to hit home runs because he has massive power.
Right, and he will. But he's on pace, according to my calculations, for roughly 12 walks. At some point in time, I'm thinking maybe a 220-230 batting average to go along with that 25-30 home runs.
Yeah, and it's an on base of 250. And Timmy, that doesn't play in the major leagues. Now, I don't care if you hit 30 home runs. I mean, I guess you could be a Chris Carter type of player, which is, I mean, you know, that's a second division guy. It's not a guy that's going to play in the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, that's they need a better player on than that if they're going to try to compete.
Yeah, but he might be, looking at that outfield, he might be their second best outfielder because Matt Holliday, it's not there anymore, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, he's worn out. I think he's just coming back from injury pretty soon. The other guy I want to talk with, Tim, it's taken us forever to get through this, Byron Buxton. You know, he's not been good when he's been called up. Finally got called up again, and 4 home runs, and not stole a base. We know this guy can steal 40 bases. 417 batting average in the last week and a half or so. Is this a hot streak, or is this finally the guy that, you know, Andrew McCutchen, and we thought he'd be Andrew McCutchen, and it hasn't been. It's been Jason Hayward.
Yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction. I want to see a little bit more. I haven't had an opportunity to watch him during this streak. I haven't seen the swing. I haven't seen what's happening. But definitely, it is a positive situation. And you know, hey, the guy's got skills. There is no doubt about it. I've got to take a look at that swing and see what's happening, and before I make a hard and fast decision on it, Rich.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it myself, but I will tell you, Tim, Jason Hayward hit a deep ball in the gap, and Randall Grichuk made a fantastic play, diving, caught it. So, speak of the two devils.
But yeah, there we go. They're going head to head. They're definitely going head to head. There's no doubt about it.
Domingo Santana, Tim, only 12% owned. 3 home runs, a stolen base in the last couple of weeks. 450 batting average. This guy that I think you liked a lot coming into the season has not played very well, but is starting to heat up a little bit.
Well, the problem isn't so much he hasn't played very well. He just hasn't played. He's been hurt all year.
Yeah.
And when it comes to – I own him in one dynasty league, and I'm very happy to own him. I'm looking forward to owning Domingo Santana in as many leagues as I can next year, Rich. He's going to be very, very high on my as a fourth, fifth outfielder. I like the power, I like the speed potential, and hopefully he'll stay healthy.
Yeah, let's just continue down this list, Tammy. I got a couple, three pitchers I want to talk to. These aren't household names, but Chad Bettis with the Colorado Rockies, Tammy, a complete game, 7 strikeouts. He's actually pitched from time to time okay. Is this somebody that you would trust at all, or is just a guy that's had a couple lucky starts?
Well, he's on a 5-game streak, and he's hot right now. And, hey, if you're looking for pitching, we only got 3 weeks left. If you catch a guy who's on a roll, take him and get what you can out of him, and away you go. You know, do I think he's anything more, per se, than an average pitcher? No. But right now he's hot, so run with him.
Yeah, I think he's a below-average pitcher, but he is hot, so you got to run with that. Here's a guy that, Tim, we thought a lot of coming up through the minor leagues, had Tommy John surgery, returned and really pitched well the first couple of games and then just ballooned up. And that's Tyler Skaggs. But over the last couple of games, 12 innings pitched, 10 strikeouts, 5 walks. You don't like that. 2.25 ERA. He is looking better. Do we trust him over the last 3 weeks?
If you need strikeouts, yes. But the other thing to take into consideration, too, is he's also pitching on a team that's rather short on offense. And is that going to help? Is that going to help your cause? I haven't seen what the Anaheim Angels lineup looks like tonight, but it's the word stellar is not entering into the picture, Rich. Not
and it's funny.
They,
I mean, they got Cowboy Cole, they got Mike Trout, they got Albert Pujols, and
And
you know, it's funny. Albert Pujols struggling apparently again with his plantar fascia tendon, you know, tendonitis down there, Timmy. And over the weekend, mine came back a little bit. I didn't wear proper shoes, Tim. I didn't wear proper shoes. And so I got a little tendonitis, had to take an anti-inflammatory and, you know, get my orthotics back in and do all that. But it just it is so freaking painful if you've never had it. It hurts so much to walk.
It cuts right through to the soul, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, Tim. Yes, it does. Finally, and we saw this coming. At least we should have seen this coming.
Yes.
I thought there's a reason I thought Jonathan Nease was going to be good this year, but he stunk. And it's Ivan Nova going to Pittsburgh in a trade deadline deal. Since he's been in Pittsburgh, is a 2.53 ERA. He's only walked two guys in 46, and that's two, Tim. T-double-O, that's one less than the amount of times that Randall Grichuk has walked. But, I mean, this has been really good. I mean, and I know he's a free agent next year, but remember J.A. Happ, he turned it around, and he's still pretty good this year.
Well, yeah, you know, I did a quick look. June and July, 10 starts, 19 walks. August and September, 7 starts, like you said, 2 walks. If you don't give up those free passes, you know, he should be the poster child for letting people put the ball in play.
Mm-hmm.
Good, you know, better things can happen if you can keep the ball on the ground as compared to just letting somebody waltz on over to first base. And, hey, if he can continue to keep the walks down, yeah, he definitely has my interest heading into next year.
Yeah, I've always liked the arm, and maybe change the scenery. But he is a free agent, so you got to be careful with that in the off season. But I mean, he's been money since he's been traded. And again, it goes back to Timmy. Anybody gets traded or signed in the Pittsburgh, you gotta pick him up. You just have to.
Yeah, you definitely do. I got a couple names too. I wanted to throw in on the list if I could, Rich.
Sure.
Okay. One of them is a player that you...
Is this against the player, Tim?
Yes, this is against the player. Rich, this is one of your favorite pitchers.
Okay.
Coming up through the Jays organization, you said he had the potential at one point in time to be the next Clayton Kershaw. Who is that pitcher?
Oh, of course, Timmy. Well, the music's playing. That's a pretty good introduction there, Timmy. It's unfortunate that you stink at this game, and I'm so good at it. It would be Daniel Norris.
Ah, yes, 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 it is. It wasn't that tough. Come on, Rich. I set you up with an easy one. I'll get you next time. Okay?
Hey, Tim, you have to play the game. You know, if you give me an easy one, it's still I win and you lose. It doesn't matter. Remember the Bregman versus Stahl one? I mean, Timmy, you know, it is sometimes about playing the game and not actually being any good, which is really all I can do.
Well, you know, if I lull you into a false sense of security, okay, I'll get you on another steak and liquor. That's the plan here, okay? But tonight, okay, 11 strikeouts. And catch this one. All 11 were on swinging third strikes.
Wow, that's impressive. I mean, the guy's got a great arm. I mean, the poor guy's not been able to stay healthy, particularly this year. He had thyroid cancer, and, you know, it's been tough. But, you know, it's impressive. 11 strikeouts, 2 walks, 2 earned runs. It gave up 2 home runs, so that's not good. But that's a good stat line.
Well, yeah, and he's got a 2-start week this week. And you know he's going to pitch down the stretch. There's a guy I like over the next 2 weeks. And here's another name that we discussed just a couple weeks ago. In the Philadelphia Phillies tonight, in the two-hole, Roman Quinn is 2-for-3 with 2 RBIs, a walk, and a stolen base, his first major league stolen base. So if you're looking for cheap speed down the stretch, get a hold of Roman Quinn and get him quick.
Yeah, I actually included him in our notes, Timmy, and didn't get a chance to up in the other section we never got to. Was when I talked about Dalton Pompey and Terrence Gore. It was like, Roman Quinn as well. When I saw, I didn't get him in any lineups or actually needed stolen bases, but I'm a huge Roman Quinn fan, and the kid can stay healthy. I think there's something there.
Yeah, I think there is too, and there's going to be opportunities in Philadelphia, big time.
Yeah, there's no question. So, Timmy, we're going to take a quick break. Boy, 15 minutes has already passed. We're not following the notes at all, but this has been fun, man.
Well, you know what? I really miss that week off, Rich. And it's nice to be putting on the old cap and talking baseball again.
Yeah, unfortunately, Tim, we are dark next week. Next Sunday will not happen. I am on vacation and going to see the Carolina Panthers, a football game, Tim.
Blasphemy. Well, there is a heated battle in Major League Baseball for playoff positions. Rich, you're going to watch football. That hurts.
I know, Timmy. It's I've watched so many minor league games over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and my wife and I are going for vacation, and we're going to Charlotte, and I'm going to see the game. What can I tell you, Tim? I'm going to go see the game. They're playing San Francisco 49ers. I think Joe Montana's playing.
Oh, excellent. If he's still capable of holding a pen, could you get an autograph for me?
That's true. I think that that Kaepernick guy, the guy that won't stand up for the pledge of, or for the national anthem, is on that team. So I guess that'll be a big deal.
Yeah, I would expect a round of boos will be occurring at some point in time.
Absolutely. So, Timmy, when we get back, we're just going to go over some of the news of the week, and then we're going to talk playoffs, baby.
Sounds good.
I'm so glad Steven Strasburg, for his sake, signed that $175 million contract, Timmy, because it just there could be something wrong with that elbow.
Yeah, it is not looking good. There's no doubt about it. And hey, you got a feel for the guy. And like you said, he's set up for life. And I'm sure he's much happier, even with what's going on in his life right now, than if he would be heading into, say, free agency.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that would have been a disaster. And that's what he was, the guy who's supposed to be going to free agency. And if people question, why didn't he hold out to the end of the year? Well, Tim, people have Tommy John surgery. It lasts maybe 10 years, and he's got a violent delivery. He's got a definite inverted W with lots of scapular loading, all those kind of bad stuff, and he throws really hard. I mean, I don't blame him for signing that contract and maybe taking a little money off the table, and congratulations. I mean, it worked.
Well, you know what? What was his contract? $175 million?
Over 7 years, 6, 7 years, something like that.
Okay, well, you know what? If you can't live on $175 million, $185 million ain't going to do no good. It's not going to make
much of
a difference, is it?
Yeah, talking about another Tommy John's surgeries, about Jordan Zimmermann, he's just not the same guy since he signed with Detroit, Timmy, and returned from the DL this week and just got annihilated by the Orioles on Saturday. And now Detroit's saying they might not even throw him out there again.
Yeah, I know where he is on my draft list for next year, Rich.
Is Steven Strasburg on your – let's say – I'm healthy in spring training. Do not draft list.
I would much rather own Chris Archer than Strasburg.
Yeah, I still like Chris Archer. Yeah, I still like.
So
I mean, you like the strikeouts, and I'm not sure. I watched a number of his games, and he looked like the same guy. Just the location wasn't there.
Well, and let's face it, I don't think he's gotten a whole lot of run support this year either. He's got a slew of losses this year, but if people are shying off Archer next year, one of them won't be me.
Yeah. I'm wondering if we talked about power. I mean, just thinking off the top of my head, so many of the hard throwers and great pitchers, Tim, have had injuries this year. I mean, and Garrett Coles is coming back from the DL. I mean, Jacob DeGrom has not been good. Matt Harvey, really good last year, not good this year. Clayton Kershaw missed 3 months. I mean, you take those guys out, and all of a sudden, you get a lot more home runs.
Well, yeah. Did you see Coles' line from tonight, Rich?
I did not. He played Philadelphia, so, right? So it should have been an easy one. No?
55 pitches in 2 innings.
Ugh.
4 hits, 4 walks, 5 earned runs, 3 strikeouts.
Yeah, oh, poor guy. It's not good.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. Philadelphia is up What is it? 5-1, 6-1, something. 6-1 Phillies,
yeah.
Up. And Hellickson is 6 1/3, 3 hits, 3 walks.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, that's why fantasy baseball sucks. I mean, come on, who saw that? By the way, Harrison is out for the rest of the season, so if you're counting on him, don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that's done like dinner.
Yeah, so all of a sudden, so, you know, George Zimmerman's, you know, not going to pitch again. Probably Steven Strasburg can't pitch. And guys named Jarrell Cotton, Tim, gets his chance and pitches really, really well. And again, I don't know anything, Tim. I will tell you, but, you know, I do evaluate prospects for a living. And
yes,
I do a lot of this. And I think I was the only person that even remotely suggested watch out for Jarrell Cotton when he was with the Dodgers. And when he had that startup, Tim, me being the jerk I am, I'm out there going, hey, here's the article I wrote saying watch out for Cotton. He could be a player. So, but I mean,
well,
come on. I mean, what is this? I mean, is this guy really somebody that we want to? He's saying Kansas City and Texas this week.
Well, you know, I would definitely take a chance on him before I would Andrew Cashner.
That's true.
Yeah.
Let's see. Did he pitch tonight? No, Detweiler pitched tonight.
Yeah, Detweiler pitched tonight. Yeah.
I remember
talking about Cotton because that was one of my lamest puns of the year.
What was it, Tim?
Oh, I wanted to be in the crowd to hear them announcing that we now have Cotton batting.
Very, very good. But Tim, I mean, do you pick him up? Do you play him this week? Kansas City, who is, I mean, they're probably out of it, but I think it's at Texas.
Well, you know, you're looking at, you got 2 weeks after this week left. So we got 3 weeks of baseball. You've probably got, in a roto league, you've probably now exceeded your 1,000 innings. Most teams, I would think, would probably be around 1150 to 1250 on your total innings pitched. If he goes out and allows 5 earned runs, how much damage is it going to do? Now, if you've got a lead in ERA by .001, well, yeah, that might change things a little bit, but it takes an awful lot of disaster in a standard roto league to really screw up your ERA and whip at the end. And I know because I did it on Sunday in one league.
I did it in DL2 and I did it in the NFBC, Tim. I remember it was like 3 weeks ago where it was a 12 ERA, a 15 ERA, a 47 ERA. It was just annihilated.
I had 5 starters going on Sunday and my combined ERA was 22-something. 22-something.
I'm sorry to laugh, Timmy, but it's so encouraging. It's so comforting to hear when it happens to somebody else as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, you play all year long, and go, this is the make it or break it, and it breaks. It just sucks.
Well, and you know what? It was the final day before we get into our playoffs, and it's a daily league, streaming pitchers. Those were the only ones left. I ended up being 4 strikeouts short, and Mike Fiers got none in the evening game.
Oh, boy. We talked about speed, guys.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Timmy. It cost you a playoff?
It cost me a playoff spot, but it reaffirmed the fact that heading into next year, I will not be playing in any leagues that do daily transactions. I just won't do it anymore. I don't have fun with it. My rule is if I don't have fun, I ain't doing it.
Yeah, but Timmy, it sounds like, no offense, sound like you might have got a little greedy there, man, trying to stream those pitchers at the end and you got burned.
Well, no, I needed a point to make it. That's how tight it was.
Okay. Oh, so we're going for
I wasn't doing it out of greed. I was doing it out of necessity. And
So I'm sorry. So I misunderstood. So it wasn't the ratios that you're worried about. It was trying to get all those strikeouts, and you wound up 4 strikeouts short.
Well, yeah, I ended up 4 strikeouts short. But what killed me was the ratios in ERA. I thought I had a virtual lock on my ERA situation. I would have needed an ERA in excess of 20.
Okay,
to cause damage. Well, guess what, Rich? It cost me 2 points in ERA.
But you know, that's fun, Tim. Come on, how can you not like that? I mean, that's just like, you have to shake your head and go, that'll never happen again. I mean, that's never going to happen.
Well, yeah, it isn't, but it's still sucks. I just, daily leagues, no, I can't see it. I'm going to get rid of all my daily leagues, and I'm going to lobby real hard and send you a real nice letter when it's the right time, and maybe I'll get into another Dynasty League. How's that?
Okay, Timmy. So we talked about speed, guys. That Dynasty League, open up a new, maybe one or two Dynasty Leagues. Not exactly sure how many, Tim, but it's more details coming after the World Series. Everybody stay tuned to that. That's a tease, Tim. Keeps people listening through the off season.
Well, yeah, I've got it written down on my notepad here, Rich, to make announcement. And, I'm going to draft a story that is going to be somewhere between National Lampoon's Vacation and War and Peace. How's that?
Well, Tim, yeah, you can do whatever you want, but if you're in the league, Tim, you'll be in the league. So that's that means there's only 13 slots in one. So, but you're a great writer, Tim. I would like to see a paragraph, and I'll read it out loud. I'll read it on the air. So,
okay, yeah, no,
You have to tell people, like, didn't you text me? At Tim's, remember you texted me about David Ortiz, and it was, I forgot what you said, but it was unintelligible.
Well, yeah, I don't even know how you figured out to draft David Ortiz for me that year. I really don't. Autocorrect turned it into some car manufacturer or something.
Exactly. It was very, very funny. Timmy, speak, guys. We talked about Roman Quinn. Now, Terrence Gore, Tim, had 5 stolen bases at the start of today. He hasn't had an at bat yet. That's hard to do. But some of these speed guys, if you're like in a town, you're desperate for stolen bases, it's not the dumbest thing in the world to do.
Well, no. You look at Gore. You can look at Pompey. He could steal 5 bases in the next 2 weeks easily. The problem that I have is I need 2 Pompeys and 2 Gores.
in a pear tree, got it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
So anyway, there's speed guys out there. Dalton Pompey, we've also, and unfortunately, Manny Margot, Timmy, he's in the finals of the PCL, so he's probably lost till Friday, maybe. So he and Hunter Renfro.
I was going to say, isn't that a weekend thing, or did they do it midweek?
No. I went to the Trenton. The Trenton Championship game. It's fun. By the way, if you ever have a chance, your local team is playing in any championship, nobody goes to the game, Stem. Nobody, because they season tickets, they don't really, don't really have them, and nobody really knows about the game. So you can go there, and there'll be 300 people at the championship games, which is phenomenal. Yeah, but
that
it's phenomenal.
Sad.
So you can get whatever seat you want. It's great. But I think it's probably starts tonight, Timmy. I haven't actually looked up the schedule yet.
Well, I was really counting on Manny Margot, and if he can steal somewhere between 20 to 25 bases in that last 2 weeks, I still got a chance, Rich.
You still got a chance. So let me look for kicks and grins here. By the way, Franchi Cordero, one of my all-time faves, is in AAA. He is playing in that championship game. And somebody saw him a couple weeks ago, told me he was a terrific center fielder. I mean, like potential Gold Glove center fielder, and I've always been a big fan of his. So really good to hear he's doing well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm doing some serious off topic here, but I'll save this one for the end of the show. How's that? Continue on. Sorry, I'm getting
way
off
topic. Unfortunately, the first game with El Paso is tomorrow, and El Paso again on Wednesday. And then Thursday, there's no, yeah. So it looks like, potentially it's over on Thursday. So figure a day or two travel. So you're
3
you're,
game
you're
or
screwed.
5 game.
It's best of 3. So,
oh, okay.
I don't know if they played yesterday. Yoel Makata, Timmy, all the hoopla, struck out 7 times in a row, and it's like, grab some pine, kid.
Well, yeah. And you know, what's good about that, Rich, which is really good, is it means that he needs some work, and odds are good we're going to see him in the AFL, right?
That's true. I didn't think about that. That's really, I've seen him play a bunch of times, but I don't know if he played today. The Boston Red Sox beat the Baltimore Orioles 12-2. Let's see, scanning down. Yes, he was a pinch hitter for David Ortiz, Tim. One at bat and one strikeout. So I don't know if he's. I don't know since I wrote that note whether he's had an at bat between then and now, but it could be 8 strikeouts in a row.
Yeah, the potential is there. I think Boston was up fairly big tonight. I can
12-2.
Boston, yeah, 12-2. So hey, he might have gotten at bat in the 8th inning. Let's just see here. Yes,
no,
he did.
He
and
struck
guess
out.
What?
He struck out.
Yeah, he struck out. Yeah.
Yeah, remember we talked about. By the way, remember we talked about Chris Young, and it was potential pickups. And this is a guy that's really streaky, and you know, don't know what he'll do, but go and pick him up. 4-for-4 tonight with 3 runs.
And he hit his 9th home run, by the way, as well.
Exactly. I mean that's Chris Young, and that's why you listen to the show, because we talk crazy stuff. But if you would have picked up Chris Young, Tim. He's batting .290 since he joined the Red Sox. So this is, he's not very good, but he can get hot.
Well, and the other problem that's going to occur, there's a lot of people out there right now saying, yes, Benintendi is going to be back active on Wednesday. No, the problem now is Chris Young has been hotter than a pistol. So yeah, Benintendi might be back, but it might be a job share, right?
Yeah, I mean, Benintendi is the long-term answer there, but you're right. And Chris Young can still pick it. So Chris Young will get Cole, and then Andrew Benintendi will be back in, but it's not going to be day one. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's going to be a job share, and there's going to be some, like I said, Benintendi's not going to move back into a full-time job, guaranteed.
Now, Timmy, when we get back, we're going to do a preview of these kind of crazy playoff races that are coming down. A lot of fun. So, Tim, this has been a by the way, it looks like Hendricks after 7. No, after 8. No hitter after 8.
Ooh, how many walks? Any?
I think one walk.
Bum.
So, yeah, I know. Looking at the standings, Timmy, as bring this up, let's just kind of go through. The interesting thing is it looks like the divisional titles, except maybe the AL East, all pretty decided. It's really these the wild cards that's a little crazy. So first of all, it looks like Texas. I think they're running away with it, Timmy. I think they are. Let's see. They're 85-59. Houston is 75. So they're locked in. And Cleveland, I think, is locked in. They've got their 83. And but it's Boston and Toronto. Right there's Boston now with 81 wins and Toronto with 79. Who wins the AL East?
I'm going with the Red Sox.
Going with the Red Sox too. That's a team can mash, Timmy, and they've got okay pitching. And Porcello's been great, and let's face it, David Price has been very, very good. So they've got two guys I think that can really pitch well. And I don't know if Steven Wright's going to make it. It's just been really bad the second half, but that's at least two guys they can throw out there.
Well, yeah, the problem with Steven Wright is John Farrell decided it was more important that he hang out at first base and dive back in and bugger up his shoulder. I think Wright's done for the year. I'm not anticipating any, but Price tonight threw a 2-hitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two solo shots. That's all he allowed.
Yeah. And all the things indicated, his FIP indicated that he would eventually correct, and he did, and congratulations. I still like E-Rod. Eduardo Rodriguez can turn it on at any point. It's been pitching fairly well recently, so I still think there's an opportunity there. But now we get to the interesting thing, Timmy. That is the wild card race. Currently, Toronto 79 and 64, Baltimore 78 and 65. A game and a half out is the Detroit Tigers. Game and a half out is the New York Yankees, and then 3 games is the Houston Astros and Seattle. And Kansas City Royals are only 3.5 games out from that last wild card. Question for you is, can Baltimore hang on?
No, and I'll give you the reason why. Tonight they started Wade Miley, who went 1 1/3 with 8 hits, 1 walk, 6 earned runs. Baltimore can't. I'm going with Toronto and Detroit.
as a pass owner of Wade Miley, Timmy, that's a very typical stat line. He can have some amazing outings. That's when he sits on your bench. Every time you start him, he does what he did tonight.
Well, yeah, Ubaldo Jimenez, he's been pitching well lately.
I know, and you're afraid to start him because as soon as you start him, you know what you're going to get.
Well, yeah, it's like starting Andrew Kashner after you throw 7 innings of shutout ball with 10 Ks. Hey, throw him out in the next outing and see if you can get 2 innings out of him.
So this is like the fourth time you brought up Andrew Kashner. How brutal was that outing then for you? Because it must have hurt badly.
Actually, I'm laughing hysterically. Okay.
Why is that?
Well, because in DL2, right, Boris and I were sitting back and we're saying, hey, you know, our ERA is pretty good. Let's take a chance on Kashner. Okay. So we put a bid in on last night for about 20 some odd bucks for Kashner because we're fairly safe on ERA and WHIP, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike bid 75 bucks, beat us to him, and started him tonight. So, hey, things happen for a reason, I guess. So I'm chuckling because I didn't win him. That's the only league I bid on him, I think.
Oh, that's very, very funny. So, well, there you go. So I guess you didn't get burned, but it sounded painful for you, Timmy. That's why I asked.
I was sharing the pain of all of his owners, okay, with you, Rich, who right about now are suffering. Our good friend Doug Cooper, okay? He started him tonight in a playoff week. I believe it's in a head-to-head, a playoff week. He started Kashner and Dylan G. Now, how's that sort of a start for your week?
Wow. Now, that's not a good start at all. Not a good start at all, Timmy.
No.
Now, where are we? Oh, we're back at the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let me, where are the wild card? All right, so Baltimore doesn't make it. Agreed. Does Toronto make it?
Yeah, I think Toronto has enough pitching that
it's been good recently, Timmy, and it has not been good recently. Estrada, has blown up a bunch of times here.
Yeah, and Sanchez didn't have a great start his last outing as well. But I think I will take Toronto's pitching over Baltimore's right now. How's that?
Okay. So that leaves something between Detroit, the Yankees, Houston, and Seattle. Now, the Yankees have the toughest schedule going out. But first of all, I don't think they make it. I don't know what you think, but I do want to talk about them for a moment. And they have been, let's face it, really good. I mean, and living here in the New York area, I mean, it's been pretty exciting to see kind of the Yankees back, quote unquote, on top. I mean, everybody's excited about the young kids they're throwing out there. And I guess my question to you is it good for baseball that the Yankees are back and that not back, I mean, that they're competing and they look pretty good? And is it also good for baseball that they're doing it with kids as opposed to a bunch of free agents?
Yeah, I'm going to go yes and yes. I think it's great for baseball. I think it's great for New York. It's something that is very foreign to any of us who have followed the game for any length of time, but I think it's a good thing. And you know what? I think fans are excited to see some of these new players, the young players in New York. You know, Gary Sanchez coming up and you know, getting off to such an incredible start. And, you know, Aaron Judge, so many good young players. And you know what's interesting is that they've put a charge into it the past month after trading away 2/3 of their all-world bullpen.
I know. And A-Rod, and basically, it was almost to the date. Once they got rid of A-Rod, it turned around.
Oh yeah, they've been playing really, really good baseball, and you know, I'm happy for New Yorkers, and I'm happy for the game, and I think it's a very, very good thing. And you know what, I think the Yankees caught a good chunk of the baseball world by surprise doing what they're doing and heading in the direction they're heading, and good for them.
I still don't think they have enough pitching, and I think they're going to have to address that at some point. But that core nucleus is starting to look pretty interesting, and I give them a lot of credit. It's interesting. I saw the game on – it's funny. You ever heard of a guy named Junior Mack, Tim? He's a blues guitar player.
It's not Junior Mack. It's – oh, what is it?
Junior Mack. Yeah, it's Junior. Yeah, he's a black guy. He's an older guy.
Passed away. passed away recently.
No, well, I saw him on, on Friday night, Timmy, so I hope he didn't pass away.
Okay, obviously. I'm thinking of Lonnie Mack.
No, I'm a Junior Mack, so just Google Junior Mack. And
my
wife and I said, so what's fun living in this town, Timmy, that's we say we go clubbing. Just because we're going to sound like we're other kids, but we go to we'll go watch music from 7:30 to 9:30, sure. Then we'll go home and go to bed. But we went to this really cool bar that's literally right across the street from us called the Laundromat, and it's a speakeasy kind of motif where it looks like a laundromat upstairs, and you open the door and you go down into the bar. It's actually very cool.
Right.
And you know, I was watching Junior Mack, and it was great. I mean, we had so much fun sitting there with his sister and kind of hanging out, talking to the band guys and all that kind of stuff. But
right.
at the, you know, on the right side was the Yankee game was playing. So I had one guy on Junior Mack, one eye on Junior Mack and one eye on the baseball game. And there was an amazing play by Gary Sanchez. So
right.
they were going to intentionally walk him. And
okay.
I forgot who was pitching. It was a lefty. And he threw a little bit of a slider or curveball, and the ball kind of tucked just a little bit in, and Gary Sanchez lunged out, hit it all the way to the warning track. Tim, I thought it was going to be a home run. Went up with a sacrifice fly. It was one of those amazing feats that, like, it was crazy. They stuck the arm out to intentionally walk him, and he almost hit a home run.
I was going to say a couple things there. Sanchez has his wrist, the strength in his wrist must be absolutely incredible. And can you imagine the pitcher under those circumstances looking into the dugout at the manager thinking, hey, just pack my bags, I'm off to AAA, it's done,
yeah.
right?
It was one of the guys that they called up, and the Tampa Bay Rays manager kind of like threw up his hands like, what just happened? Like, you're supposed to walk this guy. It was really, really funny.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that'll get you demoted to Japan very quickly, won't it?
So we've got Toronto, yes. We've got Baltimore, no. We've got Yankees, no, correct?
No, I got Detroit. I think Detroit's got a little bit better pitching, and they got some offense there. They're getting Castellanos back this week too, and that can't hurt them.
Correct, and so that means Houston's out.
That would mean Houston's out. They're like about four starters, I think, right now, Rich.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough when Joe Musgrove is one of their better pitchers, and he's just okay though. He's looked pretty good recently. He's gotten back into throwing strikes and challenging guys as opposed to nibbling and ditch the two seamers, throw more four seamers, and the ball's back up to 94 miles an hour, which is good. You'd like to see that, but I mean, Dallas Keuchel's gone, which is probably a good thing, and Lance McCullers is not pitching. Colin McHugh. They don't have any pitching.
No, Mike Fiers got torched
terrible.
On Sunday. Yeah,
terrible.
Exactly. And you know, even you look at the offense, Carlos Correa's hurting right now. He's got some shoulder issues. He's back in the lineup tonight. But they just don't have enough this year, Rich. They just don't.
So it is, and Kansas City is 3.5 out as well. I'm assuming they can't make it either.
I don't think so. I haven't looked at their schedule, but I'm just looking at the line tonight. They were getting beat up.
They got killed by Oakland. They got killed.
Yeah, and if you can name five members of the starting lineup for the Oakland Athletics, you should be, you know, capable of winning a prize in any contest, I think.
Oh, Chris Davis is one for sure.
Okay.
Chris got traded somewhere along the way, so he's not out there anymore.
Nope.
Let's see. First base. I know they just brought up Matt Olson. They were playing Max Muncy over there for a while at first base. Let's see. Who else is in the outfield? Josh Reddick got moved, so he's not playing. You're right, Timmy. I'm struggling coming up with five names.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
I could give you five players in the minor leagues. So I can't give you the major leagues.
Well, yeah. You know, and they just cut bait on Country Breakfast, Billy Butler, right? He's gone.
Yeah, it's amazing. Timmy, let's do the National League, and we're going to get out of here. So it looks like, well, even though the Mets are making a late run here, it looks like Washington is locked in. I mean, Chicago Cubs are completely locked in. And I know we talked about this, Timmy. The Dodgers up 3 games in the loss column over the San Francisco Giants. They've all of a sudden won 3 games in a row. You still think the Giants are going to win?
I think the Giants are going to win, but they're going to win it from a wild card berth.
Okay. So you got the Dodgers then winning the division.
Yeah, that's correct.
So it gets a little boring. The American League is a lot more interesting. So it looks like that. So you've got the Giants then, and it's hard to, you know, I don't know. They've been so bad, but, you know, they are up a game and a half over the Mets, and it's either the Mets and St. Louis. So who do you think's in, the Mets or St. Louis?
St. Louis. I'm going to go with the Cards. The Cards just have to get in there just to torment the Cubs. I think it should be a rule, or it almost is a rule. But I think the Cardinals will somehow pull it off and end up with that second wild card berth.
I think it's the Mets. I do. And I think if Jacob deGrom can get back, I think that's going to help them a lot. But I think the Mets, I think the Cardinals are on a bad downward spiral here, and it's just starting. So that's my opinion. And it looks like Miami and Pittsburgh, there got to be some changes in Pittsburgh. I mean, with that offense, how can you be 69 and 72, Tim?
Well, yeah, there has to. I don't know how many times we've said it, but there was a window of opportunity, and those windows, as well as opening, they also close, and they can close pretty quick. And you know what I've found shocking the past month? Have you seen what Gregory Polanco's been doing?
I have not.
Not much. I almost benched him this week if they didn't have 8 games. Yeah, he's been in a horrible slump the past month.
Oh, for four today, so.
Yeah, I almost benched him for, was it Broxton or Enciarte? In DL two,
no, I got him in a league as well, and I haven't been paying close enough attention. Timmy, I'm writing like 3 hours a day, so it's been hard to manage my team. So it's oh jeez, Kendricks just gave up a home run in the ninth inning.
Who hit it?
Look, is that Hasselbacker? Yeah, Hasselbaker. Come on, it's like. Really?
But, well, yeah, there's somebody that we'll hear about from all the Cubs fans in the world tomorrow, I would think.
Yeah, that's a tough way to go, man. That's a tough way to lose it. So anyway, he gives up the home run. But so you got the Giants and the and who else in the National League, Tim?
St. Louis, the Cards.
I got the Mets, so that's the only place where we really differ on.
Yeah, my biggest concern with the Mets is DeGrom.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we're going to see Jacob DeGrom pitch like Jacob DeGrom, and I think they need him badly. The offense is fine, but I think they need that arm in a very, very bad way.
They do. They need somebody that can. So yeah, and it's funny. DeGrom's been hurt, and Matt's. Can't stay healthy. They got Noah Syndergaard, so he'll be playing the play-in game. I don't know what Joe Madden's yelling at something. I'm not sure what's going on.
No, okay, well, it probably is the scorer, okay? There should have been an error on the play, I'm thinking, no?
Yeah, they're really going out. He just got tossed.
Huh.
I have no idea what's going on because I'm talking to you. But he's hot about something.
Maybe he thought he was getting squeezed or something.
Maybe so, Timmy. I don't know. But anyway, so this is great. Watching TV, talking to you, and people listening to us. You think they're having fun.
I was going to say that's why we are the pro radio people that we are, right, Rich? We can multitask.
All right, let's see what's happening. So I don't know. There's something. They're replaying it, and I don't know what's going on. Anyway, Seth Lugo, Timmy, having a nice little month of September himself.
Yeah.
With the Mets.
Yeah, he is. Montero, not so much, but Lugo is, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, wow. Say that again, Timmy. I wasn't paying attention.
Montero, not so much.
Oh, yeah, Montero. Gesellman doing okay. I mean, he's had a couple of nice little starts. Jonathan East is terrible.
Yep.
Fat Bart seems to do, yeah, but they can't get by. They're not going to win much with just Noah Syndergaard. So.
Well, no, and doesn't he have bone chips or something going on in his elbow as well?
Yeah, he's trying to, apparently he can't hurt himself any worse, so he's trying to pitch through it, Tim.
Yeah, that's why I went with the Cards, because they got to have DeGrom, I think, and I'm just not comfortable with the Mets pitching right now.
Okay. I don't know, Timmy. Okay, so I guess that's a wrap, Timmy.
Yeah,
we covered a lot, man.
Yeah, we sure did. I got a scoring question for you, and this came from the Facebook page, and I don't know who to give credit to, but whoever it was, you've got my credit. I need your ruling on this one, Rich.
Okay.
Okay, Corey Guerin. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Relief pitcher for the Giants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last Friday. Okay, he was called in to pitch in a save situation in the bottom of the 12th inning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He promptly struck out Chris Owings to get one out,
mm-hmm.
and then was replaced by Javier Lopez. But he stayed in the game in left field. Lopez, who took over for Guerin, walks Chris Lamb, and guess who replaced him? Corey Guerin. Guerin gets the final two outs in a 7-6 Giants victory. And
he got
save.
The win and the save. Yeah, the win and the save. Yeah, I heard about
the
that.
The hold and the save. Yeah, he got the hold and the save. Because holds are an unofficial and not an MLB stat, ESPN gave him credit for both, a hold and a save. What say you?
Yeah, it's a hold and a save.
Yeah, so you don't have any problems with him getting both then,
no,
obviously.
No, from a fantasy standpoint. I had heard about that to me. I thought it was a win and a save, but I guess it was it was a hold and a save. First of all, that's impressive.
I've never seen a set of circumstances like that, Rich, ever.
I don't think I have either. That's amazing.
Well, yeah, you take a pitcher, you throw him into the outfield. And then bring, we've seen that happen many times, but not in a save situation off the bat, and then coming back into another save situation. That's bizarre.
Yeah, totally. Totally bizarre. Well, congratulations if you got saves and holds, because you probably picked up 2 points or a point and a half, so that's good stuff.
Yeah, you sort of rocked it on that one.
Yep. Timmy, it's a wrap, man. What do you got going on this week?
Well, I've been off work for 2 weeks, so I think I'm going to be fairly busy with work. And other than that, I'm just going to be hanging out on the Facebook page. I haven't looked at Twitter in 2 weeks, so I'm thinking maybe that should be next on my list. But I've been rather neglectful of my baseball thing the past couple of weeks, Rich. But I got to get in, check out the teams, make some moves, and sit back and enjoy watching some baseball.
That's awesome, man. I'm writing, so that's what I'm doing this week, and then off for vacation on Friday, and we will be off next Sunday, and then back, let's see, that would be Sunday the 25th, and that would be the last week of baseball, Tim. The end is here.
Yeah, it's or as some people not competing in baseball say, that's what, the fourth week of football?
Yeah, the fourth. I watched half a game or something. I just don't like football, Tim. I just don't like it.
I share your thoughts. I haven't watched a full football game. I can't even remember. It's got to be close to 10 years, including Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a baseball guy, and then that's what I am, and I love the game and football. It just doesn't do it for me at this stage in my life. Not at all, Rich.
Well, we're going to go watch a live game of the Carolina Panthers. If you're at that game, let me know. I'll tell you once I buy my ticket, so I'll tell you where I'm sitting. But
are you still waiting for your SeatGeek price and seat, Rich?
I am. I get my kind of alert, not every day, every few days when they tell me there's something out there, I go take a look at it. It's going to be tomorrow or Wednesday when I put the money down, because I just want to make sure it's all wrapped up before I go. So, and a lot of these tickets are UPS tickets, so I want to get an electronic ticket as well, and I don't want everybody to scoop me, so I'm going to wind up getting a 50 online ticket for a game I don't really care about. So we'll get decent seats, but not great seats. That's what I've told my wife.
Well, yeah, and the last thing you want is to be haggling with some guy in front of the stadium 5 minutes before kickoff, right?
Yeah, I'm not doing that. We'll go to a bar if that happens. It's just, you know, that's not the way I roll, Timmy. I'm not a haggler in front of that. I think this week, Timmy, I'm gonna buy a new car. By the way,
Are you gonna get one with windshield wipers at work when you turn the radio on, or you're gonna?
I told you about the car that's been problematic. It does appear to be fixed, but the Audi guys have come back, and I said, look, I'm not driving this car. I don't trust it. And you know, I've driven it probably in the last 2 weeks, maybe 10 miles. And so they've cut me a deal, Timmy, that the Audi of North America has given me a huge discount. Not the dealership, but the Audi guy. So So I was haggling with the guy today, and I come on, I need a little bit here. And he goes, are you kidding me? The sales guy, look, you know me pretty well. I've been selling cars for 20 years. I've never seen this before. you have to take this, or quite frankly, everybody in this dealership is going to make fun of you.
Well, you know what they say. Audi with the old, in with the new, right?
Exactly, Timmy. It's been fun, man. Welcome back, and I'm glad you were not. I mean, the whole community was glad you were not injured in your accident. And go give Earl some hell, man.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna do my best. That vein in my forehead has finally shrunk back down now. So life is good, and it's great being back, Rich. And looking forward to 2 weeks from now. You have yourself a great vacation.
Okay, man. Be well, Tim.
Yeah, be well.